When Andrew was talking about the church cycling around these other churches, I just had this idea, Andrew. I don't know if you're up for it, but I'm the owner of a very large Dutch bike with a big cargo crate on the front. And I reckon we could kind of have you extended one leg forward and I'll ride you around and in the manner you're accustomed to. And yeah, that could be fun. You know, folks, every time I look this way in church, I kind of think there's a great big hole there where a cross should be hanging. Because absolutely everything we do is at the foot of the cross. It's the right place to be. It's where we're called to be as God's people. It doesn't need to be a massive, great cross. Big isn't better. It just needs to be a symbol that says this is who we are under Christ, that this is where we worship under. We worship under a cross of salvation, a cross of transformation, a cross that changes everything forever. Let's see where we go with that. Well, on September the 22nd, 2009, I was attending a day conference in Gloucester where Sister Frances Dominica was speaking. Now, Sister Frances is the founder of Helen House, and Helen House is a respite home for terminally ill children and cares for them, their families, and their loved ones. And as she spoke about God's call to her work and the depth of the pain and suffering that many families face through the protracted death of a child, she talked about how many parents feel that what is happening to them, their family, to that child, is evil. And in response to this idea of evil, she offered a definition of Almighty. And it struck me to such an extent that I wrote it down verbatim, and maybe it's just for today. Almighty, there is no evil out of which good cannot be bought. Almighty, a definition of Almighty, there is no evil out of which good cannot be bought. Well, we're almost coming into land on this first part of our sermon series on what's in our hands. We've been asking this question week in, week out. What is in our hands? What has God placed into our hands? And next week, Shirley is going to lead us through a reticent but ultimately triumphant Gideon to touch us down fully in this question of what's in our hands. But this week, this question, what's in our hands, has an uncomfortable cutting edge. Because as we read this passage from John's account of the crucifixion, in Christ's hands are raw, flesh-piercing, bone-shattering nails. In the soldiers' hands are dice or card trading cards or lots. They are gambling for Jesus' plundered clothes. And in our hands, where by rights there should be guilt, sin, shame, and blood, but by the gift of grace and mercy, in our hands is freedom, bought with a price, bought by the Almighty God. Almighty, there is no evil out of which good cannot be bought. What's in our hands? Freedom. I only really have two things to say this morning, and the first is this. We live in a culture of FOMO. That's how hip I am. Fear of missing out. Many of us like to keep our options open right up until the last minute. Have any of you tried to organize an event, a party, or anything like that recently? Well, you send out your invites by text or by messenger or by email. Now, for some of you, there's also this thing called a stamp. It's like a special ticket that enables letters to... Oh, letters. Okay, so there are these things called letters. People write by hand on paper. Okay, still not got you. Paper, it's this historical stuff that the ancient Egyptians mastered the creation of. This is getting too complicated too quick. If you wonder what a letter is, probably the Museum of Barnstable might have some. But anyway, you send out these invitations, and A, no one responds, but many will turn up on the night. Okay? B, some people respond saying they will check their commitments. This is shorthand for, I will see if something better comes up. Or C, your mother responds to say she'd love to see you, and when are you coming to mend the washing machine? There is a general lack of commitment to almost anything. Now, Christian women, you know what I'm talking about, right? Especially when it comes to looking for Christian men. Now, it might comfort you to know that there has been a recent scientific study that revealed in a high percentage of Christian men that one specific gene is missing. It's called the commitment gene. But there is a general lack of commitment to almost anything other than a total commitment to chance. There is a total cultural commitment to chance, to gambling, to holding out for better offers and odds. And the first thing I want to say is this. We cannot sit casually at the foot of the cross, gambling with God's precious gifts of grace and mercy. We cannot. Just as the soldiers divide Jesus' only human, earthly possessions, the clothes on his back, that's it. Well, just as they divide those, so too can we be guilty of casting lots with his grace, his mercy, his favor, his presence, his salvation. You know, there is no room for a casual response in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus sends out his invitation by whichever means to all creation, and we either A, don't respond, but expect to be let in at the last minute, B, check our commitments and feel that it's just too much to ask to be held to one belief, C, you might respond to absolutely everything else but Jesus' invite. And if you are really blessed, if you are really lucky, option D, your mother, father, granddad, your nanny, your relative responded years ago and might just be holding out a light to the pathway for you now. God bless our faithful relations who have faithfully prayed for us. Just out of interest, hands up, how many of us came to faith or came to a relationship in Jesus Christ through the example or the invitation of a family member, extended or otherwise? That's amazing. God works through relationship. Thank you. Let's pray that in a second. We're just going to pray that. So look, thank you, God, that you plant faith into our families. It's hard as parents when we look sometimes going, what's going to happen there? But you plant faith into our families, Lord. Would you keep us faithfully calling out to you for our children, to our lost ones, for our loved ones? And thank you for all those who've gone before us, who held us in their prayers that we might know you. Amen. You see, we can't sit in the presence of God casting lots for what he has. If you want to know the fullness of God's freedom, the freshness of his grace and mercy, the power of his forgiveness and salvation, the depth and intimacy of his friendship, then you need to throw down the dice, stop hedging your bets, open your hands, receive and say thank you. You know, choose with your whole life to receive from God all he has offered from his son's life. because that's what it cost. Freedom costs. It's not casual. And I just want to push this morning and say, you know, don't miss out any longer on the goodness and graciousness of God. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's a gift, pure gift, for freedom that Christ has set us free. So first off, what's in our hands this morning? Freedom. The second thing I want to say is this. Not only are we called by faith into freedom, we are also welcomed by faith into family. We are welcomed by faith in Jesus Christ into the community of family. Let's read John 19, verses 25 to 27 together. If there's a church Bible in reach, it's page 1088. They may already all be out. Look over your neighbor's shoulder. They won't mind. It's not like the newspaper on the train in the morning. Grab a Bible. And give me a nod when you've got something you can see to read. So let's read this out loud together. We're picking up at verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Jesus is dying. Blood is flowing out of him, and God's almighty purpose is being worked out. Almighty, remember, there is no evil out of which good cannot be bought. And as Jesus looks from the cross, he sees a grieving mother and a grieving son. Wherever Jesus goes, new life springs forth. When he comes into your heart and knows you, new life springs forth. When you welcome him into the wholeness of who you are, your heart, your mind, your all, new life springs forth. And even now, life is literally flowing out from him. And it cascades into everyday life. It cascades and it creates new life and new family where there was none. Jesus creates new life and family where by rights only desolation and mourning should exist. And it's no mistake that with Jesus' dying breaths, he calls people into family. For a mother, the gift of a son. For a son, the gift of a mother. And I love this passage. Were this handful of verses all we had of the Bible, it would be enough. They speak hope in the face of horror. They speak life beyond the grave. And they instruct us in the gift of family. Now, I've often wondered in this moment whether Jesus' mother and John looked at each other and took up one another's hand, held one another's hand. Now, awkward English Western moment coming up, so here we go. I'm going to ask you to do something now, and you can choose not to, okay? There is no pressure. But if you'd like to, take hold of the hand of the person next to you. Seek their permission first. Take hold of the hand of the person next to you. And then I want you to take that hand and I want you to look at it. I want you to look at that hand. Really study it. Really look at the life of that hand. Look at it in detail. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. And it's the question that we have asked all the way through this. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? More importantly, who is in your hand? You see, this is the very foundation of church. This is the very foundation of the family of faith. This is what Jesus calls us into. We are to be sons to mothers, mothers to sons, fathers, brothers, aunties, uncles, and so on. It's more than friends. It's family where there was none. And we are welcomed into this family of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ the Son. What's in our hands? Family and freedom. How does it get there? Only through the gift of faith in Jesus Christ crucified, the Son of God, as revealed through Scripture and enacted in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when faced with the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, when freedom is offered, lavished upon us with such grace and mercy, how will you respond? And this is a daily choice. For some of us, it's an hourly choice. Life is hard and messy, and we have to again and again and again and again say, I choose Jesus because he chose me first. Again and again, hour by hour, day by day. When we receive the gift of faith, of love, of hope, of reconciliation, of peace, salvation, eternal life. The list goes on, and every one of these gifts is intimately crafted, personalized for each one of us. What's in our hands? More than we could ever deserve or dream of. What's in our hands? A living relationship with the living God. What's in our hands? The hand of Jesus as we work out how to live this messy life together. These words from our passage again. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what can we do but thank you? What can we do but offer you ourselves just as you offered your Son? Life is messy. Life is hard. There is extraordinary joy. There is wonderful hope. And as we stumble along the path, Lord, would you catch us? Would you hold us? Would you take us by hand? Would you lead us? Your word talks about leading us to green pastures and still waters. And for many of us right now, the world doesn't feel or sound like that. So we long, Lord, we ask that you would draw us there this morning. Through our worship, through our prayer, through your word. And actually quite particularly now, Lord, as we come to share your meal, as we share together in this act of communion, this remembrance of your meal, draw us to green pastures and quiet waters. Restore our soul, refresh our hearts, and let us be a people who day by day, hour by hour, say, yes, we receive you, Jesus. Into every part of our lives, we receive you. We pray this for your name and for your glory. Amen.